Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. And if we can be of any service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. Today, we will continue our series on the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. This morning, I am really blessed to have my wife in the studio with us today. Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Amen.
Thank you for inviting me.
You live here, so that's a cool thing. Last week, and actually the last 2 weeks, I was in Kampala, Uganda on a missions trip. And so I was really excited to find out that my wife decided to do this show by herself. And so it just shows you the power and the grace of God, because I know it was absolutely wonderful. I can't wait to go back and listen to the archive. How do you think it went?
For a first time, it was good. I did good.
Amen. Well, I know last week you covered John chapter 2, correct?
Did chapter 2.
Okay, today we're going to go ahead and start into John chapter 3. So let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, Lord, that your word is seed that goes out and accomplishes what it is meant to accomplish and does not return unto you void. And Father, this seed is planted in good ground, we believe. Some will get a 30, a 60, a 100, even a 1,000-fold return in this lifetime. And Father, we just promise to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, John chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Now, let me stop right there at the end of verse 3 for a second and clarify a couple of things. Number one, Nicodemus was an educated man. He knew exactly what was going on. And so when Jesus started talking about being born again, his spiritual understanding was obviously mute, but his natural understanding kicked in, and he understood the anatomy and physiology of how birth occurs. And so it really didn't make a lot of sense to him to figure out how to be born again. That's one thing. Now, the other thing he says in verse 3, Jesus answered him and said, "Most assuredly." And so I want you to understand that that word assuredly means absolutely, confidently, without a shadow of a doubt, I guarantee that what I'm telling you is true. Now, several weeks ago, I had this revelation from God about the fact that the Bible, from the front cover to the back cover, is God's testimony from the standpoint of evidence that's presented to the world. And so we have to make a decision whether or not we believe it or not. In fact, the Bible says, "I place before you today blessings and cursings, life and death." And then He tells us to choose life. Well, in order to choose life, you have to listen to the testimony and look at the evidence that's presented, and then make a decision that you're gonna go with it. So that same thing is applicable here with Nicodemus. He had to listen to the testimony and then evaluate the evidence of what he was talking about and make a decision as to whether or not he believed it or not. So let's go to verse 4. It says, "Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?'" Now you see, he's looking at the anatomy and the physiology of this thing, but he's not looking at it from a spiritual perspective. Hallelujah. In verse 5, he says, "Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do you not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again? The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Now Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?'" Now I want you to understand that was not a negative question. That was a positive question, because he wasn't saying that "I doubt these things can happen." He just wanted to understand how it could happen. And so we have to be very, very careful about the fact when we ask God questions that we're not being negative, okay? Because he'll do like he did with, who was that, Linda? John the Baptist's parents, Elizabeth and Zacharias. Yeah, Zacharias. So Zacharias laughed at God and said, "How's that going to happen?" You know. And so that was a very negative thing. Now you turn back to Matthew, where Mary asked the same question. When Gabriel came and said, you found favor with God, and you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she asked, "Well, how can that be?" Mm-hmm. And again, she understood the anatomy and the physiology of childbirth, and her question was not, I don't believe that it's possible. She just said, "How is this going to be since I've not known a man?"
Right.
She understood that there had to be a relationship and a sexual intercourse between a man and a woman to create a child. And so she had not done that because she was still a virgin, and she did not understand how that was going to occur. Well, that's the same question that Nicodemus has here. He's saying essentially, it's not that I don't believe that it can happen or that I believe that it's true. I just don't understand how it's going to be. And so that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to ask him questions because the Bible says, "My people die for lack of knowledge, and they have not because they ask not, and when they ask amiss." So we want to frame our questions correctly so that we can get the appropriate answer that he wants us to have. All right, let's look at verse 10. He says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?'" Now, that's a very important question right there. Mm. He's asking Nicodemus the question. He's looking, if you don't believe what you see, how in the world are you going to believe in what you don't see? Mm. Now, that's one of the big problems today is people say, "I have to see it to believe it." Well, the problem is we operate in the faith realm, and now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you have to believe it before you see it. Because if you don't believe it before you see it, you'll never see it to believe it.
Yeah.
Amen. A little word game there, okay? All right, in verse, let's see where we're at here. In verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through that the world through him might be saved. So that's a famous scripture there, John 3:16. Everybody has said that before when you went to Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not die but have everlasting life. And usually that's where they stop. But you have to go on to verse 17, because then he confirms his word. He absolutely verifies his word by saying, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. So that's an awesome promise that God gives to us. And we should relish in that and be very excited about that. Hallelujah. All right, let's see. In verse 18, he said, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might clearly be seen, and they have been done in God. Hallelujah. And so when we're talking about light and day, Linda, what do you think? Are we talking about the night light and the sunlight, or are we talking about something else there? I think it's something else. I think we're talking about good and evil, okay? Yeah. Because when you go back to the beginning of John in chapter 1, he says that he was the light and the life unto men.
Right.
And then when you go to Genesis, he separates the light from the dark before he ever gets to the sun and the moons, okay? And so there's a specific difference there, and what he's talking about is that people that are evil want to stay in the darkness. They don't want to have their acts and their deeds and their thoughts illuminated.
Yes.
They just want to keep doing whatever it is they're doing with no accountability.
Right.
But he says that if you're of the light, then it really doesn't make any difference, you know, whether or not your deeds are shown, because you're going to be doing things that are correct. But this all boils down to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The interesting word there is prove. See, prove what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is, which means in order to prove it, you have to have evidence. In order to have evidence, you have to experience testimony. And, of course, God's testimony is from the front cover to the back cover of the book. So when you look at that, that book is much more powerful in our life. And this chapter right here is very interesting, or this particular book of John is very interesting, because John was very intimate with Jesus, okay? He was one of the three on the inside loop, if you will. And so he had a revelation and knew things that most other people didn't. And this is what he's trying to tell you right here, is that Jesus said that if you believe the testimony that I give you, then you'll live in the light, but you'll not be in the dark. Hallelujah.
Actually, he was Jesus' cousin. This was John the Baptist.
Oh, okay.
He was the one that was ate locusts and honey.
Amen. Well, no, the person that wrote this book is John, not John the Baptist, because John is talking about John the Baptist.
Oh.
Okay. So, hey, it's all good. It's all good. That's what we're here to do, is to study to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, let's go on to verse 22, because now we're going to talk about John the Baptist.
Okay.
After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing, now that's John the Baptist, okay,
in
Ainon near Salem, and because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison.
Right.
Okay. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, of whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Now, the important thing to remember is that John the Baptist's ministry, now he was the son of Elizabeth and Zacharias, okay? His whole ministry was to introduce Christ to the world.
Right.
Okay? His job was not to create a megachurch. His job was not to do anything other than what he was doing, which was to introduce Christ to the world. Okay? Now a lot of people today need to understand that concept. You need to figure out what it is that God has called you to do and do that and do it very well. If you do that and do it very well, then you're going to be like many members. He says many members, but only one body. Okay? And we can't say of any of these members that we have no need of thee. Okay? So if your anointing is working with babies in the church, okay, we need you because that's not my anointing. That's not something I'm going to do, all right? If you're somebody who cleans the bathrooms, then we definitely need you in the church because that's something I don't like to do is clean the bathroom. Hallelujah.
True.
Amen. She's testifying here that
Absolutely.
That's a positive statement, okay?
Positive.
So we have to find out what our gifts and our callings are. And this is part of the problem in the church today. The fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, teacher, the pastor, are trying to exalt themselves in their own kingdoms instead of doing what God has called them to do, which is to build the kingdom of God.
Mm.
And so when they do that, the Bible says that those people are there to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to bring them together in unity until Jesus comes back. Well, there's no way that you can work in unity unless your mind is renewed. And your mind has to be renewed to the Word. So that means that you have to hear the Word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more you hear, the more you act on what you hear, then the more possibility of your mind being changed, because you're going to renew the thoughts that come into your mind so that you're listening to what the Word says instead of what the world says. Amen? All right, so we want to move right on here. Let's see. 27 says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing. Now, I want you to understand that. He cannot have anything unless it has been given to him from heaven. For yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Hallelujah. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Now, I want to stop right there for a second and let you understand that John was saying, look, I know what my role is. I know what my responsibility is. I realize that I am not the one to be standing in the spotlight. I don't want the spotlight, because that's not my assignment, okay? My assignment is to introduce the world to Jesus. So as long as I do that and do it with excellence, then my joy is going to be fulfilled. Now, I used to ask people all the time, or ask the Lord, you know, how come I don't have a mega ministry? How come I don't have people that I deal with all the time, 24 hours a day? Well, because that's not my assignment. I don't want to be doing something that I'm not ordained to do. I don't want to do something that I'm not blessed to do. I don't want to do something that I don't have an anointing to do, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and sets the captives free. So if I'm helping an individual person one-on-one by counseling him, reading and studying the Word, or getting him a Bible or something of that nature, then that's my assignment. And so I need to do that with excellence, and when I do that, my joy is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Now,
so that's what happened when you were in Uganda.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to share that a little bit later.
Well, we'll probably do that next week, okay,
because
I want to get that all put together. I want to get back into this and make sure we got this going. But yeah, I'll probably talk a little bit about Uganda next week. I hope to have Pastor Kasiri with us,
yes,
so that he can talk about some of the things that he saw while he was there as well.
Yes.
But nevertheless, the thing is, you know, there when we went to Uganda this past couple of weeks, there were I think we started off with about 50, and we ended up with 90 pastors and leaders on Friday night. Okay. They were there to hear the word. And, folks, I'm telling you, we dumped a ton of word on them. We just inundated them and saturated them with the word of God. It was absolutely wonderful. And we presented it from this perspective, the same thing that we talked about this morning. You know, you have to listen to the evidence and make a decision on whether or not the testimony is true or not. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If it is, then we ask them the question at the end of the week. Well, do you believe it or do you not believe it? And we had a unanimous vote of yes, we do believe it, okay? So that's why, you know, those people God put together. I don't know any of them personally, okay, other than the people that were on the leadership team. But as far as who showed up, I didn't make that assignment. I didn't make that choice. God made that choice. All I did was do what he told me to do. I was in my wheelhouse. I was doing what God had called me to do. And the rest of it is up to him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
All right. Let's go here. It says in verse 29, he says that he was the bride. He who is the bridegroom. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend in the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all, and what he has seen and heard that he testifies, there we go with that word again, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. I love that verse right there. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Hallelujah. And so that's the end of John chapter 3. Now, I want to make a couple of points here. Number one, he's saying here that he testifies that Jesus came from heaven.
Yes.
Okay? Now, the beautiful thing in our life, and this is one of the things we talked about when we were in Uganda, the beautiful things about our life is what Jesus did for us on the cross enables us to be equivalent to Jesus. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, and I know some people, they get so upset when I talk about things like that, but that's just what the Word says. Okay? Now, the thing you have to understand is that our righteousness is as a filthy rag.
Right.
But he made his Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we could then be made the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
Okay? So righteousness means right standing. So we are in right standing with God, and that's a cool thing. So when God looks at us, what does he see? He sees his Son. Okay? And so when we look at his Son, who do we see? We see God. Mm-hmm. But in order to see God, we have to be able to see Jesus. And in order to see Jesus, we have to see the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And in order to see the Holy Spirit, we have to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? We understand that the Word says that he who sows to the flesh reaps corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit reaps life everlasting. Okay? So our relationship makes us equivalent to him, and that means that we're equal. So one of the things I did over there, I showed him, I said, well, let's evaluate that. If God is in Jesus, and Jesus is in me, then that means I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's do that one more time. If God is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Holy Spirit,
right?
Okay, and the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us, then that means that we are with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is with God. And so until you understand that relationship and you get all of that worked out, there's no way that you can experience the truth and the power of God, because there's a pathway that we have to follow in order to get to God. Now, God sees us all the time, 24/7, okay? And he wants to communicate with us, but how does he do it? Well, he does it through Jesus, and Jesus goes through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Therefore, we can see things in the spiritual realm that we can't see in the natural realm, okay? Now, we could get into a whole large, protracted discussion on seeing things in the spirit,
right?
Okay, because it's not at all what most people think about seeing with their eyeballs. And it's really a good thing, because when you have to see things with your eyeballs, then you're limited by this realm, by time and distance and space. Okay, but in the spirit, there is no time, there is no distance, so things are a whole lot different. Okay. The other thing we want to talk about, so let's do that one more time. If God is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is within us, then that means we're in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is within Jesus and Jesus is within God. Okay? So that makes us equivalent. We are equal to. Again, not because of anything we've done,
right,
but because of what Jesus did on the cross. Okay?
Right.
Because he said he loved the world so much, and that's what we were in. We were in the world. That he sent his son to seek and to save that which was lost. So we were lost because we were born into sin. But if we listen to the testimony, we believe the evidence that's presented, then at the end of the trial, if you will, we have an opportunity to say yes. And when we say yes, that means we will live for eternity, all right? It's easy to get saved, but then the problem sets in, and that's walking this thing out with fear and trembling, okay? And we'll talk about that as we go through this series. So here's what I want you to understand. Today we've been talking about John chapter 3. We talked about Nicodemus and where he did not quite understand what being born again is. I think he got it after the fact. And then we also talked about John the Baptist, what his assignment was, and why he was so happy doing it. Well, folks, that's what we need to do. We need to believe that in order to be saved, you have to be born again, because that's what the Word says, okay? And the Word says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable. So he didn't make any mistakes. There's no human error involved in this. It's all 100% accurate. But we have to be willing to listen to the facts and believe what the Word of God says. Now, here's the thing that you want to remember. Once you do that, now you have to seek the Lord to find out exactly what your assignment is. And when you find out what your assignment is, in order for your joy to be happy, you've got to line up with the Word of God and do what He's called you to do. Does that make sense? All right, Linda, we're just about out of time here today. Do you have anything else you want to add before we leave? We've got about 30 seconds.
You did a good job, and I'm glad you're back.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad you did what you needed to do over there, and you were talking about the whole church getting together. That's a perfect example of not having a mega church. But you went out there, you and Godfrey went out there, and you did what you needed to do because you loved doing it, for one thing, and God sent you there, and you all worked as a community, as a church.
Amen. Even though we were from a lot of different churches.
Yes.
So there can be individual congregations,
yes,
but there's all just one body of Christ.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, listen, folks, I am excited to be here with you. If there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to check out our website at dmcministries.net. or give us a call at 804-909-7339. And we look forward to seeing you next Tuesday at 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio for What Does the Word Say? Hallelujah.